Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Ah, Danielle, it's Ben Crenshaw.
We don't have any rain to worry about, at least not much. Ben, it's going to be a beautiful day. It's going to be a little cloudy this morning, scattered showers, mainly on the windward up Mauka, central Oahu. We've got the leeward side mostly sunny, isolated showers, high about 84. Winds are out of the east, 15 to 20. And it's just going to be another gorgeous day in Hawaii, but we do need some rain. If you'd like to get out and play a round of golf, there's an 840 at Poipu Bay, where I understand, is it possible that Alice Cooper is visiting? There's also a 1010 and a 1020. Royal Hawaiian Country Club on Oahu has a 920. Eba Beach Golf Course has one tee time. It's a 157. Bayview has a 1020, a Wailea Gold 840, Emerald 920, and the Blue Course 950, and Maui Nui 840. And that is, of course, where one of our guests is. That's David Havens, Aloha Section PGA of America president. And on Monday, he begins his 500 holes of golf. That's 100 holes of golf every day for 5 days, raising money for the Aloha Section PGA. We'll be talking with him and Debbie Waitkus. The inaugural Marilyn Smith event is going to be happening at the Longbow Golf Club, where, by the way, Epson Tour is playing. Bob Herrig's going to kick off the show, followed by Lee Sakugawa and Jeff Wallach, the award-winning journalist, writer, and author. Yes, he has another book out. Everyone here is from somewhere else. No kidding. It's true in this room. We're going to come back with Bob Herrig right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors: MD Restoration, water, flood water, broken pipe cleanup, call 24/7, licensed contractors too. Raynor Garage Doors, steel, aluminum, and wood. Ready to hang or custom made, sales and service. That's Raynor Doors. Aloha Power Equipment's new mega store is now open across from Costco Ibile. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment's Waipahu store, and now in Ibile. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Let's bring him into the clubhouse. Bob Herrig, Sports Illustrated and Morning Read, author, Tiger and Phil, Golf's Most Fascinating Rivalry. It's coming out. Golf Writers Association of America past president, Chick Evans Scholarship graduate, Evans Indiana University, an Evans Scholar. And, I'm really looking forward to your book. Let's bring you in right now. Bob Herrig, welcome into the clubhouse.
Hey, good morning. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. You're over in Innisbrook. Are you over covering that fabulous tournament that has Matt Neesmith in the lead?
Yeah, this is a home game for me. This is Innisbrook is in my backyard, so it's kind of nice. And it's a great tournament too. You know, really good golf course, and got some good weather this week after what we went through last weekend. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Would you have called it early? Would you have said it's unplayable, the 17th hole, as some said they should at some point?
I don't think so. I get the argument, but, you know, from where I was sitting and watching, yes, there was some bad, bad luck there, and there was some really hard shots to have to endure in the wind. It's a huge green, 40,000 square foot green. You're talking about a 9-iron or a wedge. And most of what happened there was bad execution. There was guys that were unable to hit the shot required, which was a punch shot into the wind that, you know, you need to really know how to control it. And, you know, if anything, it just sort of exposed a weakness. Now, it's easy for me to say. I mean, most of us aren't going to be able to do it either. But I don't know. It was a very rare occurrence what happened there, and to say that it was, you know, unplayable, I don't know. A lot of guys got the ball on the green.
Yep.
I think there was 19 balls in the water during that Saturday part of the second round where, you know, the wind was so bad. And like 9 or 10 of them were just bad shots. You know, like they weren't going to be good shots if it was calm. So, I'm not in the camp that says it was unplayable. It was very, very difficult.
So let me ask you a question. I'm always curious. What are you guys in the media center talking about? You're talking about this Saudi Golf League and the Premier Golf League and all the stuff that's percolating.
I don't think you can avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
When this whole thing came up, you know, a couple of years ago and then gained more traction last year when Greg Norman became involved, I know some of my colleagues thought, oh, this will never fly. You know, or this is never going to work. I don't see this lasting, that kind of stuff. And they might very well be right. But the bottom line is it's been incredibly destructive and disruptive. I mean, no, whether it works or not, it has caused a lot of grief. I mean, look what's going on with Phil. You know, I mean, look at how his career has been put on hold because of all of this. You had guys that were very, very close to doing this and backed out. And now they've announced a schedule where they're just going to throw the money out there and see if anybody comes. You know, do you think that there's some pros out there who don't want to play for $4 million first place? You know, I mean, I just don't think they're going away. They have the wherewithal if they want to stick this out.
Absolutely.
If they can be patient and want to be patient, you know, that sovereign wealth fund in Saudi Arabia, $500 million to them is, you know, $50 to you and me. It's just nothing. I mean, they can withstand it for a while. And frankly, they have to have the patience. They must have a game plan to hang in there for a few years. And it's going to be fascinating to watch, you know. I certainly think that the PGA Tour offers a great place for players to make a living and to perform and make a legacy. But I also understand that this thing is, it does have some legs. It's got people looking at it.
Well, there's the first eight events were announced. It's a 54-hole, no-cut tournament. Starting in June, Centurion Golf Club in London, Pumpkin Ridge Golf Club, Portland, Trump National Golf Club, Bedminster, New Jersey, the International in Boston, Rich Harvest Farms in Chicago, off to Bangkok at Stonehill Golf Club, Jeddah Royal Greens Golf Club, and then there's the Team Championship. Now, do I have this, am I looking at this right? $20 million for the individual winners and $5 million for the team that wins?
Right, yeah. $20 million purse for the individual portion. That's what they paid at the Players' Championship.
Right.
They're going to pay $20 million to 48 guys. Maximum. If they only get 40 or 30, they're still going to pay out the 20. $4 million going to the winner. And then the team part, there's $5 million that's going to go to the top three teams. So relatively speaking, that's somewhat chump change, but it's still more money. You know, and then the last tournament has like a $30 million purse. So, I mean, you know, it's 25 million a week for 7 weeks. There's some guys out there that are, you know, that are maybe struggling to make it or they, you know, I just got to believe some people are going to be intrigued by this.
Absolutely. And I understand that, Greg Norman sent out 250 invitations to the players around the world, independent contractors that they are. Of course, he contends that they could go out and play anywhere they want because they can't be stopped from earning a living. Greg Norman goes, I won't go up against any majors or major PGA Tour events or major team events, Ryder Cup, I'm thinking, President's Cup as well. Players can pick or choose how often they play. And, of course, he doesn't like the phrase Saudi Golf League. It's Live Golf. But it's so much easier, SGL and PGL. You know, Saudi Golf League and the Premier Golf League. this is weird, wants to have $20 million purses, $4 million going to the... Sounds like it's the exact same thing that what Greg Norman's doing with LIV Golf. And it, someone said that basically the gentleman who came up, Andy Gardner, came up with Premier Golf League. His whole idea was, quote-unquote, stolen. And that's how the LIV Golf, it was based on Premier Golf.
Correct.
Really? Okay.
That's right. Yeah, the Premier Golf League was the original one that came out that kind of got some legs 2 years ago, right before the pandemic. And then what happened was, is sometime last year, there was a split. There was, I don't know if there was a disagreement or what have you. And I think the Premier League guys got a little bit nervous about the Saudi money. And so they wanted to break from that. And then there was a group that decided, no, we want the Saudi money to back this. And so they formed their own thing. And that's the ones who hired Norman. The Premier Golf League has since readjusted. And they're trying to pitch a plan that in which they would come under the PGA Tour. Their events would be part of the PGA Tour schedule. So, you know, that's a long shot, too. But that probably has a better... That probably has, you know, a small chance of working, whereas the LIV Golf thing is going to be very, very confrontational and probably lawsuits and things like that because the tour believes it has a right to restrict its members from playing outside of the tour except for a handful of times a year.
Well, yeah, I, you know, I was trying to figure out where they think they're going to, the Premier Golf League thinks it's going to find another, you know, $500 million as a pot to, you know, pull in. So hooking up with the PGA Tour makes a whole lot of sense. And their idea of being within the calendar, kind of a World Golf Championship sort of, you know, eight tournaments of this Premier Golf League caliber. But why would the PGA Tour want to give up their... you know, status as the premier league by...
It's a fair question. It's the Premier Golf League is talking about 18 events that they would incorporate into the schedule. And so those 18 weeks, only 48 players would play. And so like the regular PGA Tour guys would be off. But of course, their thing is that, yeah, but a lot of the top guys then wouldn't be playing the regular events, and they would then, you know, that would be more opportunities for the rank and file guys to do well. Frankly, my thought is 18 is too many. It's just not going to work. I mean, maybe eight would work, but then the money would be down. Because what he's talking about, the Andy Gardner, is, you know, his plan would produce so much revenue that, And there's this ownership part of it that every player would get $2 million just to start off, you know, and there's money for Korn Ferry players. I mean, it's phenomenal sums. And if you're down the list of a PGA Tour player, that's more money than you're going to make playing. That's why I think it has some validity and they might take a look at it. But in the end, I'm just not sure the tour wants to bring on somebody like that. And kind of, like you said, share it almost.
Yeah.
You know, they I think they feel like they have a good thing going as it is.
Well, they do.
They do. Yeah.
I mean, you know, the pension plan that's available to the players, and they even have a pension tour. You know, they can go from the PGA Tour to the Champions Tour, PGA Champions, and continue to play as long as they want and make some money there.
Right.
You know, it's gravy. But I really appreciate you kind of like putting it into a nice picture. You've just really framed this. So I'm really understanding what in the world's going on. And it kind of makes, you know, Colin Morikawa, everybody kind of like, nothing's making sense when I look at the leaderboards lately. This must be traumatic for these guys to be having all this money out there and all these questions about their allegiance to whom, you know, and whether it's, wow, big. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the chance to explain it. I think it's going to be around for a while. We're probably going to be talking about it a little bit more.
Right on.
As we keep going.
Right on. Well, I'll keep reading you. Sports Illustrated Morning Read. This is Bob Herrig, and I can't wait for Tiger and Phil, golf's most fascinating rivalry. This must be frustrating. You've got a whole new chapter to write.
I do. I need to get a chance to update it in the paperback version.
There you go.
That's right.
Thank you, Bob.
Thanks a lot. Take care. Have a great day.
You too. Aloha. We're coming back and talking with Lee Sakugawa, PGA. He is the 2019 PGA Aloha Section Teacher of the Year and the 2020 PGA Aloha Section Youth Player Development Award, Callaway staff, and he's at one of my favorite golf courses, Dunes at Maui Lani. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Iwilei. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Iwilei parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Iwilei.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate for that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club radio show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's Rick at radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Lee Sakugawa, PGA, and of course, 2019 PGA Aloha Section Teacher of the Year, 2020 PGA Aloha Section Youth Player Development Award. And, you know, he is, listen to these certifications, Flight Scope Certified, Positive Coaching Alliance Certified, PGA Coach Certified, U.S. Kids Certified, and frankly, CPI Certified Putting Instructor, the first instructor in Hawaii. Welcome into the clubhouse, Lee.
Hello, Danielle. Thanks for having me on your show.
Absolutely. As friends on Facebook, I've been following you, and I really like what you wrote when you said, first, I'd like to thank Roger Dunn Golf Hawaii for allowing me to teach there the last 5 months. Effective March 15th, I'm teaching at the Dunes at Maui Lani Golf Course. Mahalo to the Dunes of Maui Lani Golf Course for the opportunity. So, and then I see the pictures of you teaching so many of the junior golfers. Is that where your heart is?
Yes, I have fun teaching the juniors. You know, I grew up playing sports also, and I had, you know, a lot of coaches. So I'm just trying to give back, help all the young kids out there.
They seem to really take to you, too. You know, I could see it just in the pictures. There weren't videos. It was obvious that they're right around you.
Yeah, we're out there having fun. It's fun hanging out with the kids. You know, the kids are really funny. It's just fun out there. That's the main thing, just having fun.
Yeah. So do you use some of your, like, I'm not familiar with, frankly, CPI Certified Putting Instructor.
Yes. I think they're based out in Europe. And I did the certification, and I do try to implement that in my teachings. Yes, I do.
Yeah, and a Positive Coaching Alliance certified, Flight Scope certified.
Right.
And you as kids making such inroads and doing so much in Hawaii to get U.S. kids locally, as well as bringing some of the championships to Hawaii. It's really exciting what's going on.
Yes. I know. I guess Oliver on Oahu does a great job with the U.S. kids, and I think Renee Lee does on Maui. I'm hoping to run like the PGA Junior League during the summer and just, you know, get some leagues out there, junior camps out there, just to help the kids.
Oh, good.
Everybody, you know, yeah, everybody's just dying to get outside.
Dying to get outside is right. PGA Junior League, tell us about it.
I usually run that during the summer, and what I'm planning to do is do that during the summer. Chris Armanini down in Kaanapali usually has a team, so we'll probably have Kaanapali, Dunes, probably Maui Country Club, and maybe Kapalua.
Nice.
And we do that during the summer, yes.
Nice.
And what we do is we go to different courses, and we go and play matches against other teams.
Is it kind of like how the college format is?
No, it's basically a lot of the kids are really young, never been on the course. So we're just trying to get them some experience on the course and, you know, just keep them in the game. The parents, the kids have a lot of fun. I love running PG Journey League. It's a fun thing to do.
So how many kids are in on the team?
Let's see. I didn't participate during COVID, but it's runs about 12 kids.
Cool.
Per team.
And so you play, how does the team format work in Junior League?
Well, with the Junior League, basically we have a teams and we're basically just playing scramble.
Oh, nice. So there's no pressure.
So it's not real, you know, serious in competition. It's just more just having fun.
Yeah. And everybody's got the same kind of uniform.
Everybody's got the same uniform. I think that's a big thing with the kids, just having the uniforms, you know. They have fun with the other kids, so it's just a fun atmosphere.
It is. It sounds like, you know, summer pals. What's summer pals?
Right, exactly. And I also want to run, I'm thinking about running, it's similar to PGA Junior League, but it's called the PGA Family Cup.
Oh, yes.
So instead of your, you know, juniors your same age on your same team, you have one junior and, you know, you can get your parents or your siblings as part of your team. So I think that would be really fun, having
your
family out there playing each other. Yeah.
Yeah. And that translates into them getting accustomed to being on the golf course, and maybe then then they can go play on their own as a family. Oh, that is wonderful. That's real.
Yeah, because what I noticed with the really young kids, they don't like to just hit balls and go on a putting green. Just getting them on the course just makes a big difference as far as, you know, keeping them in the game and growing the game.
Yeah. And now how do you, you know, what if the parents don't know too much about the game? Do you teach them a little?
A little bit, but, you know, we're not too much with the parents, more the kids.
Okay. All right. So, yeah.
But we have, you know, we appreciate the parents because they're out there helping and volunteering, and just keeping the kids moving along.
The reason I ask is if, you know, one of the junior leaguers wants to get his or her parents into it, but they're like a little nervous about going on the golf course for the first time. We'd have to get them over that nervousness somehow.
Yes, exactly. Because I've had kids that never been on the course, and with PGA Junior League, they finally get on the course, and they have so much fun. They have so much fun.
Excellent. How do they get in touch with you?
Yeah. They can go to the Dunes website, or I'm on social media, and all my information's on there.
Great.
If they call the Dunes will refer them to me.
Yeah. Dunes at Maui Lani it's really, because of the way Maui is with the two volcanoes right there in that isthmus, it's really kind of a lynx course, even though it is not on the ocean.
It's definitely a lynx course, and I would say the range has got, I mean, probably one of the busier ranges on in the state, besides probably Olawai, the busiest. But Dunes is pretty busy. It's crazy busy at night.
At night? So you have
crazy
lights out. That's great.
Yes, lights are, yeah, they have lights. What I notice is a lot of non-golfers, so that's good for the game. Yeah, new golfers are coming in the game, but a lot of non-golfers, new golfers, I should say.
Yeah, new golfers, people who are,
yeah.
Now, if you're a new golfer and you're on Maui, can we come and
yes.
take a lesson from Lee Sakugawa if we're older?
Oh, definitely, definitely.
So you'll teach us old folks, too.
I teach from kindergarten to adults. Doesn't matter, whatever age.
And fun is part of your vocabulary.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, basically, the bottom line is it's still a game, so, you know, we got to have fun.
Yeah, yeah. So I have to ask you about your Callaway staff member.
Yes,
yes. What's lag shot? You're a lag shot ambassador.
Lag shot is basically a training aid. I'm not sure if you're familiar with like that orange whip, that really flexible shaft
yes.
Training device. It's similar to that, except lag shot, you can actually hit a ball with it.
Oh, does it?
So they, you know, they come in different, you know, they come in 7 irons, wedges, and I think a driver.
And does it?
So it's just something you can actually use on a range to practice and hit.
Teach you to hit a lag shot?
It's basically, you know, just more your timing and stuff, not to get quick and stuff, and, you know, help you with the over the top type of swing. It's just a really flexible shaft.
Far
but
out.
It's really a good training device, yeah.
Good. And if somebody was interested in one, they could, of course, come to you and talk about it and figure
yes,
out.
Exactly.
It.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Yes. And I can refer them to you.
Yeah, good. And the true swing, what's that?
True swing is another training aid. It's basically attaches to the golf club, and you can also use it on the range and hit balls, and it just helps you from overswinging. It's just a device that helps you from overswinging.
Nice. And
so I try to use a lot of training aids in my swing just to help the students learn a little faster, yeah.
You get a better feel, is that why?
Yes, exactly, yes.
You get a better feel. That's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
It's just a faster, yeah, it's just faster.
Now, in 2018, you qualified for the Senior PGA Championship. What
yeah.
was it like going and playing?
That was pretty nerve-wracking. I mean, especially with the cameras around. But it was fun. It was really fun, you know, playing against a lot of the top senior professionals in the country. It was really fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I like how you said nerve-wracking with the cameras around. It's like, wait
yeah,
a minute.
Yeah, you just... Just try not to look at the cameras.
Right.
But it was really fun, yeah. It was exactly, yeah, really, really fun.
That's wonderful.
Great experience.
That's wonderful.
Great experience.
Well, I'm really glad to talk to you. And if you have anything special happening, please stay in touch with me so that we can
I will.
Keep
Thank
everybody
you. I will, definitely.
In the loop as to what's happening at the Dunes at Maui Lani. And Lee Sakugawa,
okay.
PGA, so good to have you on the show.
Danielle, thank you for all you do for the golf industry.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you, Lee. Aloha.
Okay, thank you so much. Aloha.
We're going to come back. David Havens, PGA, Aloha Section President, of course, and he's going to founder Spare for Change. I still can't believe he's going to do this. Havens' experience at Maui Lani, Aloha Section PGA President. Did I say that twice? He's going to play 100 holes of golf on Monday, 100 holes of golf on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You get the picture. And he's going to fly from one island to another and play some really nice golf courses. So we're going to talk with David about why in the world he's doing this to his body. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home where the Grand Slam lives. Need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Iwilei. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Iwilei parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Iwilei.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
All right, we're going to help our superintendents of golf by keeping everything lovely. And you can do that by using your Pitch Fix Fusion 2.5 to clean up after, you know, somebody maybe who didn't clean up. And you're going to clean up before you leave the hole and go off to the next one. You can do that with a Pitch Fix Fusion 2.5, named the best divot repair tool by Golf Digest for 3 years at least. So all you got to be is the 808-545-1111 ninth caller to get into the number 808-545-1111. That's the number to call. Pitch Fix's patented repair tech pin technology, featuring the retractable metal teardrop pin system, they say outperforms all other divot repair tools. And it's like a little switchblade. You know, click and it opens and you just fold it back up. We're going to give you one if you're the ninth caller at 808-545-1111. Next up is David Havens.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434. Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Aloha Section PGA, PGA of the Year. David Havens is president of the Aloha Section this year. He's also founder of Spare for Change, Havens Experience at Maui Nui, and 2012 Aloha Section PGA Junior Golf Leader, 2013 Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, and 2017 Aloha Section PGA Professional of the Year. Welcome into the clubhouse, David Havens.
Danielle, thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And thank you. Thank you for that introduction. I sound like someone I would hire.
Well, I'm so glad you have such a high self-esteem. We're going to have to work on that. But you must be feeling pretty good about yourself and your body if you're going to play 500 holes of golf, 100 holes a day starting Monday.
You know, mentally, I know I can do it. Physically, there's still a question mark there. But I know I'll get through it, and it's going to be a great time.
Oh, yes.
I'm excited about it. There's been a lot of support. Thank you very much for everything you're doing for golf in Hawaii and helping me promote this event.
You know, playing 5 days, 100 holes a day, what do you do to prepare for something like that?
Sleep. I've booked in some good spots to sleep, and because as soon as I get done, I go straight to the airport, and I'm going to fly to the next spot and then just rest, because I've done 100 holes a few times. And talking with some of the PGA members in this section, this was pretty common a couple years ago, there were guys here that have talked to me about it. I believe Larry Stubblefield did it for years and years. I had a conversation with Cliff Council the other night, and he was talking about how they did it, and it made such a difference. And they raised a lot of money. There was fellowship. I mean, these are the things that I want to get back to. I want to get our guys back together. The other night we had a meeting at Wailea, courtesy of Marcus Judge and Claude Brousseau at Claude's Golf Academy there. And we had 15 people, and we played 9 holes of golf. We had pizza. We had fellowship. The members and associates got to ask questions. And it was just a magical thing to be back together. The guys also got together on Kauai not too long ago for one of our play dates and did the same kind of thing. Wes Wailea-Hua has been going to each of the islands to support it, and he's also there to answer questions. I mean, this is a really nice start to my presidency.
I'm glad, because you guys work really hard. When I give you, you know, when I mention what you've accomplished, that's not just something that people say, oh, let's vote for so-and-so. You have to earn it. And the way you guys, you PGAs, put yourselves studying and learning new techniques and or just learning better how to do something, how to teach, how to take care, it's nonstop. You become a PGA. It's hard to become a PGA, and then you continue to expand your understanding of the game and your understanding of teaching and how people learn best. And you're just really, you put a lot into it. And but has anyone done 500 holes in a week? Has that been done before?
I'm not sure. I'm pretty for sure that this is the first time I've done it.
Yeah, well.
And I don't know of anybody else in the country that's done it, especially on 5 different islands. But I think it's going to be a blueprint for us to do it in the future. To have an option in a beautiful state like ours to go from Hawaii to Kauai to do 500 holes is pretty magical. I'm sure that's a lot of people's bucket list.
Right.
To be able to go and play, to tee it up on Monday morning at Kukui Ula and enjoy the beauty of Kauai, and then, okay, well, let's go do it again on the north shore of Oahu and then at Hualalai and then King Kamehameha Golf Club, and then to finish at Manelli on Lanai. That's a bucket list trip.
Yeah, it is.
And what's fun for me, there are a lot of people that are really getting behind what we're doing. They're understanding the need of what I'm doing here. I'm really trying to help out the PGA members and associates, and because they have needs, just like what you're talking about. All of us are specialists in our own areas, but we wear a lot of different hats as a PGA member or associate and people that work in the golf business. Your job title is not defined to just one little thing. So the more things we can offer, as I mentioned, these play dates, educational opportunities, for example, the Teaching Coaching Summit, where we bring in some of the best talent. We're hoping to host that in October at Hualalai. These kind of things add value to people that work in the golf business, and that's a valuable part of what we do.
Yeah, it's a fundraiser. That's why you're doing it. 500 holes in 5 days, flying inter-island, island hopping, and of course, you're going to have great beds, right? Because you're going to be...
Yeah.
That's the one thing that would be great, very important to me.
Great beds and great sushi along the way. So, I'm looking forward to playing golf with some of our PGA members along the way. There's going to be a bunch of guys joining in with us.
Oh,
to play if nothing else, to play 9 holes at a time, because we can, if we go fast enough, we can do 9 holes in 30 minutes.
Wow!
And some of my PGA members have been going into their own pockets and donating to this because they believe in it so strongly. And there's more money involved if I can make eagles when we play. And I've got an option if I can make 100 birdies in 500 holes.
Uh-huh.
I have a donor that's willing to donate quite a bit. So we'll see if I can make it to 100 birdies. The way I putted at Wailea the other day, it could be a struggle.
It's good knowing your weaknesses before you get in there.
100%. It wasn't the greens. I think it was me.
Yeah, okay. So. But I got to ask before I forget. Now, you know, what should people eat? You're going to play 100 holes. What are you going to take in your golf bag to eat, and what are you going to drink?
So, lots of Gatorade, of course. I'm good with having something that's got a lot of sugar in it because I'm just burning calories left, right, and center. Vitamin water. I preach to my students about eating on holes 4, 8, 12, and 16 when they play. Eat something because your body, even though you don't realize it, your body needs it. And that comes from a lot of years of learning the hard way. When you finished poorly on 15, 16, 17, and 18, mm-hmm. It wasn't because your golf swing laid down. It's because you were tired. And so granola bars, I'm sure there will be a Snicker bar or two thrown in there. but I'll make sure that I have a good solid turkey sandwich probably two or three times that day. But I think I can get through this in 6 hours at each place.
I was just thinking, though, you know, David, that's a lot of 4, 8, 12, and 16. If you're doing 100 holes.
Oh. Well, I'm saying when you're playing regular golf.
Oh, yes. I understand. Yes.
But when I'm flying around and racing, it'll be much stronger for me to be hydrated. I'm sure there are people listening to this thinking, this guy will never make it based on his choices he's talking about. But that's okay. I'll get it figured out, and I think there's some good things that are going to come from this. I want to set the blueprint for the future, things that we can do in the future, and I know 15 ways to do this better for next year. Because while I'm still healthy and I can do it, I want to do it as often as I can to support what we do here in the Aloha Section PGA, and it's. I think about those. The other night we had the meeting at Wailea, excuse me, mm-hmm. And Ben Hongo did a moment of silence for those kids that were killed in that traveling accident.
Yes.
And you just think to yourself how lucky we are to do what we do and how quickly it could change. And so as most people, anybody who knows me knows that I live my life as strong as I can live it. And I do as much as I can. That's why this to me is an honor to do. And I'm excited to do it because I'm able to do it.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
And so not to change up the subject there, but that was something that really hit home for me the other day, because at any minute, no matter what choices you take with your diet or how nicely you live your life, you know, tomorrow's never promised. So I'm very thankful for what we have here and my family and all the good things that are going on in my life. And that's what I focus on. So
excellent.
That's why this year is important for me to hopefully to inspire others to do great things as well.
And I'm really glad you brought that into the show today. That's such an incredible tragedy. A 13-year-old slams into their tour bus and... a failed tire that was the spare. You can be in your track, on your plan, well executed, yeah. And out of nowhere, a meteor hits you. I mean, it's just not to be understood. Geez. Okay, but well. I want to thank Kukui'ula, Turtle Bay, Hualalai, King Kamehameha, Manele Bay, for being a part of David Haven's 100 Holes of Golf, 5 days in a row for 500 holes, a fundraiser for the Aloha Section Foundation to raise money for events the Aloha Section Foundation would like to get off the ground. You've mentioned a couple. Are there any for some of the... you know, people for us to attend, for us non-members?
Well, this one here, it's just pretty much going to be me and a couple of the host pros. But I would like to mention that we have our classic scramble coming up at Mid-Pacific on May 23rd. And that's our biggest fundraiser of the year, outside of this one, depending on how big it becomes. Uh-huh. Our dream is to have 30 teams. I've been recruiting people here on Maui to put together a few people to come play. I think I've got about seven teams that have verbally committed. Now, until they put their name on the paper, that's another story.
Right.
But if I can help Wes and the rest of our board, if we can sell 18 hole sponsorships for $500, that pretty much covers our expenses that day. And that is one of our biggest contributors to our scholarship fund. And again, it's our largest foundation fundraiser of the year. And it's a lot of fun. People get to meet all the board and our interact with our PGA members and associates and see what we really do. And they can ask us questions and have lunch with us. And it's showcasing what is great about the PGA and the Aloha section.
And that's something we get to do. We can be in the scramble.
You get to do it.
May 23rd at Mid-Pacific Country Club, another fabulous golf course, to play. And what's nice about it, even though it's very challenging, there's not a lot of inclines. It's right along the ocean. It looks so wonderful. And you'll really have a really good time. I know so many ladies enjoy playing at Mid-Pacific Country Club. A lot of guys, too, of course. But just, you know, from the woman's point of view, in case you're listening, it's a really cool place to play a round of golf. And a scramble is always fun because there's no pressure. It's just out having a good time. So, David, thank you for sharing your diet plans.
Yeah. I'm sorry that was the weakest portion of the episode with me.
The Snicker bar was. The Snicker bar. That's something you might want to rethink. But I
more
love the peanuts.
Sometimes.
Yeah. You know, you got to give yourself a little something, happiness, you know. I wish, now, shall we talk on Saturday after this?
Yes. And if anyone that's listening is interested in or helping out with a donation or sponsoring some of my play, you can go to spareforchange.org. You can also, if you're Honolulu, you can stop by and see Wes at the Aloha Section PGA office. He will be collecting checks. But there, if you stop by my website, spareforchange.org, you can see on there'll be information as to how you can help further this process for us.
Good.
And we appreciate it in advance.
And can they email you at mauihavens@gmail.com?
Yes.
Okay.
And any of my information is on the Spare for Change website. Easy to find.
Spare for Change.
That's what.
Go ahead. No?
Oh, I was just saying I'm easy to find. I have lots of different outlets you can find me.
Yes.
Maui Havens is just my personal email, but it gets answered just like the other ones, as often as I can get to it.
Yes, and it's really good having you on the show. I always enjoy talking with you, David. Spare for Change is a wonderful, for instance, at the Sony Open, there is David at one of the booths. It's the spectator village, and he has all these golf clubs. I mean, boxes and boxes and boxes of golf clubs. And he's got a saw, for want of a better word. And what is that thing, the brace? What is it called? I can't remember. That you put the...
The vise?
Yeah, that one, the vise. Yes, you put the club in the... And he meets the person, sizes them up, gets a club out, cuts it off at where he wants to, puts on a new grip, puts on a... Bango, walks away. A little... I don't know. She was maybe a foot tall. Maybe she was 2 feet tall. You're so cute. She's walking away with a little club. She's got her first golf club, and that was from Sony. And that's what David Havens does. He takes unused, things that people don't want anymore, and he repurposes them and gets people into this wonderful game. So spareforchange.org, you can find all the information about David Havens, PGA, and his fundraiser for the foundation and the 500 holes of golf, and maybe even sign up for the Scramble. 30 teams, the Scramble, May 23rd, Scholarship Fund, Scramble, and that's at Mid-Pacific Country Club. Thanks for being on the show, David.
Danielle, always a pleasure, and thank you for what you do for golf here in Hawaii.
Thank you.
We love you.
Aloha. I love you, too. Okay, we'll talk to you after you've played 500 holes. I hope you're still around. Okay, we're going to talk with Debbie Waitkus, founder of Golf for Cause, co-founder and chair of the Marilyn Smith and Founders Legacy Tournament after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Iwilei. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Iwilei parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all. Aloha. Waipahu and now Iwilei. Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home where the Grand Slam lives. Need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
Got my new book, 3 Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Debbie Waitkus, founder Golf for Cause, co-founder and chair of the Marilyn Smith and Founders Legacy Tournament. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Danielle Tucker, woman extraordinaire. Thank you for having me.
You're so wonderful. Okay, this past month, the Arizona Golf Association partnered with the Marilyn Smith and Founders Legacy Tournament and is putting on, basically, their Women's Open and the Marilyn Smith Scholarship Pro-Am, which you've been doing the Marilyn Smith Scholarship Pro-Am for, what, 10, 12 years? How long?
Well, we did it for 10 years, and then we had a little hiatus given COVID, but also we were moving her pro-am to be part of Founders Cup, so we were changing the time of year, so we had a little hiatus with that. So we actually haven't had a pro-am in 4 years for her.
Wow.
And it feels, can you believe it's been that much time?
No.
And that's really, the fall of 2018 was our last one. And so we're back on the horse, so to speak. We're teeing it up again. We are so, so excited.
I would be too. And you know why I hadn't thought of it not happening for 4 years? Because you always have the online auction and you've had the gathering, the tea that you have to, and that all raises money, right?
Yes, it does. And so we tried to have some sort of a continuation and to keep all of these founders relevant and still forwarding their legacies. And I think, their stories are so powerful for the shoulders we're all standing on. I mean, did you watch the induction ceremony to the World Golf Hall of Fame?
Yes. Yes.
So if you, I mean, Susie Berning, who has come to every, I think it maybe except for 1 year, to every one of Maryland's pro-ams as one of the pros. And this year, she's actually the participating honoree. I think she put things in a really good perspective when she mentioned, she brought out Tiger's name, right? Which I think endeared the audience to her a little bit too.
Yes.
And made people like sit up and pay attention that in her, you know, as young as she is, that she had all her wins before Tiger was born.
Yes.
And then the dollar amount of what she won in all the U.S. Opens that she made. And, you know, maybe Tiger might want to trade, you know, pay check on one of them.
But, yes. Yes. I'll give you mine. You give me yours.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think that, but look at how well she did that. And the way that she was able to endear an audience to her, in addition to her amazing history and abilities and what she was able to accomplish. And I'm going to share a really quick story with you because I think that these women really had to do what we're doing, promoting an event, promoting what's going on. But they were really circus barkers for the LPGA Tour. But they did it in a way that was respectful to others. So, and here's the story I'm going to share with you. The very first Founders Cup that happened here in the Arizona market, when the players all played for no money but just points for their CME. Do you remember that?
Yes, absolutely.
So the sponsor, if you recall, was R.R. Donnelly. Now, R.R. Donnelly had never done anything, no promotion of any sort. They were so excited to actually make a commercial because it had to play on Golf Channel and things like that. They'd never done anything. And this past summer, I had lunch in New York with Tom Quinlan, and Tom is the former CEO of R.R. Donnelly. And so I asked him, I think it's inquiring minds, we want to know, why did that happen? How did you ever commit to doing such a thing? And, you know, what's the story? And what he said is that Mike Wann, the former commissioner of the LPGA, one of his really close buddies was COO of R.R. Donnelly. So the three of them went to, it was either lunch or dinner, and Mike had Marilyn with him. And so here they are having this meal, and Marilyn sort of looks over at Tom and says, "Oh, sir, right?
Yes.
I see that you're left-handed, just like Ben Hogan."
Oh, my goodness, how wonderful.
So Tom said to me, he goes, "Oh my God, she had me right then and there."
Yes.
My name and Ben Hogan's name in the same sentence. That I, where do I sign? Where do I sign, right? And so the way that these women knew how to inspire and promote at the same time. I mean, really, she did it in such a loving way to really lift up somebody else. And that's what you've said, how she always lifts you up.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And that's exactly what she did. And you know that they needed to do that in order to have the tour continue, for it to have life.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. That is such wonderful manipulation.
Well, you know, you can spin that any way you like. But it worked, right?
Yes, that is wonderful. That's wonderful. So, but you know what? Marilyn was such a force when she got you. You know, she was just completely with you. Arnold Palmer, you know, same. Mm-hmm. You know, it was the same feeling. Like she devoted herself to knowing you and to embracing you and making you part of her family. And so you just felt one with her. And so, you know, watching her go in a golf cart, and I've probably said this many times, but in the middle of the Arizona heat, for me, it was amazing. I'd never experienced anything like that. And she's out there in the golf cart a golf cart going from one foursome to another. All the people who had signed up and were playing in her pro-am, she would go and talk to them. She would say, hi, thank you so much for being here. It's great to see you again this year. You know, that was what she did. She was...
And what's your name? And oh my goodness, what a beautiful shirt you have on. Where'd you get that shirt?
Yes. Yes. Yes, exactly. She was wonderful. So on Monday, May 2nd, the Marilyn Smith Scholarship Pro-Am, you'll have amateurs teeing it up with special guests and professionals playing in the event. Is that still the case?
Yes. And So we have quite the lineup of pros. So, you know, Susie Burning will be there.
Yeah.
And Kathy Whitworth will be there.
Wow. Yeah.
Pat Bradley will be there.
Far out.
Sandra Palmer will be there.
Far out.
Danielle and Dina Amakapani will be there.
Wow.
It's just, yeah, wow is right. And so to be able to play with these women, visit with these women, hear their stories, it's just... In the love that they have for Marilyn and for that, you know, it's almost like we've got that whole Me Too thing going on, which, you know, Marilyn was Me Too before there was Me Too, but just empowering other women, although, you know, the event obviously is open for men and for women, but it's about raising money for scholarships for girls, right, to get them to college. And the fact that, you know, so many of these girls in our surveys to them have talked about how important it was. Not the money is great, but the money wasn't the be-all and end-all. It's that somebody believed in me and helped me move forward. And don't we all want that sense of feeling like we belong and that we're loved and that we've have a sense of accomplishment when someone else recognizes us? And that's a huge part of it. And all these women just flock to Marilyn's mission, and that she was a leader of these gals to push things forward.
Yeah.
Right.
And
beg forgiveness and not permission. And I mean, we all know what it's like to be told no, and we're going to sit here and we're going to prove you wrong, aren't we? Right.
Yes.
And that's really, you know, and then, you know, I think, Danielle, for me, that's part of the excitement of having the AGA involved with their championships as well, that this is a pro-am at the front end of now, that here's another trailblazing thing. We have lost the professional golf here in Arizona, and so the AGA is now trying to backfill, and we're starting this year with the senior event. And here's a trailblazing thing with Marilyn's name on it again, you know,
it's fantastic.
It's apropos.
Well, I also thought, I mean, there comes a time when you have to pass something off to someone, like you need to continue this. And what better than a golf organization, as since 1923, the Arizona Golf Association's been there, and they will be there for another 100 years. With their organization, and then Marilyn Smith's name will be there for another 100 years, you know, regardless of where you and I are on the planet. your legacy
really
will live
good
on.
Point.
Yes.
That's a really good point.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Also, in addition to the Marilyn Smith Scholarship Pro-Am, with the special guests, and you get to play and you get to talk, you can... Also, the community is invited to attend the Sunday Tea. Now, I'm not going to pronounce it right. I just know. Papago Golf Club?
Papago.
Papago. See, I know
it's the Papago Golf Club. And that's the new home of the ASU Sun Devils, the men's and women's golf team.
Oh, far out.
And their amazing practice facility is there that they call it the Bird. It's the Thunderbird Golf Center or whatnot that is where they practice out of that on the campus, if you will, of Papago. And it's a central hub for golf now in Arizona, which is just so wonderful. And so we will have the tea there. There will be, we've encouraged a lot of folks to bring their junior golfers out or just their, they don't even have to be golfers. Just to be able to meet them, meet these ladies and talk with them. Bill Huffman will be doing interviews of the players. And We'll have an expo with allied associations and vendors, as well as an auction. And, of course, we'll be serving refreshments and tea.
Yes, and tea.
And tea.
Yes, of course. And is this all happening, the event, the Longbow Golf Club, are they hosting?
The Longbow Golf Club is where the tournament play will be. And something really cool, Danielle, because we have so much of Maryland's memorabilia and access to Shirley Spork, who's another co-founder of the LPGA, we have access to her memorabilia. We are having displays in the display cases at both facilities, and they'll be for more than just the days of the events.
Great.
There's a huge one at Papago that is right now allocated to Bad Birdie. So we're doing a whole fashion forward display, including things like Marilyn's ABC jacket. She was the first female broadcaster of a men's PGA Tour event. So we have that jacket. We have Shirley Spork's Marilyn Smith founder's jacket that Ben Hogan gifted to all the ladies.
Wow.
And it'll be interactive. We'll have QR codes so that you can go deeper and learn the story behind the piece. We've got Shirley talking about some of the pieces. So it's going to be wonderful. All the memorabilia to help, to help educate and let people know about why this cup is so important.
Right.
Otherwise, it just looks like a cup.
It's just a cup. No.
It's a very special cup. It's a very special hat,
Yeah.
So we're pretty excited to add that component, and that will kind of get us off our horse, so to speak, with respect to what we will do with memorabilia all around the country for educational purposes.
Where do we go if we want to be in the Marilyn Smith Scholarship Pro-Am? How do we register for that?
You go to the AGA's, the Arizona Golf Association's homepage, which is azgolf.org, and you can, if you want to go deeper, you can do the slash and say AZ Women's Open after that. So azgolf.org/AZ Women's Open. But the homepage should be pretty intuitive to get to there, too.
Exactly. That's what I had on my notes, but I wasn't sure. azgolf.org, A-Z like zebra, but it's Arizona. azgolf.org/AZ Women's Open. Fantastic. Debbie Waitkus, as always, founder Golf for Cause, co-founder and chair of the Marilyn Smith and Founders Legacy Tournament. Thank you again for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Danielle.
Aloha.
You're always such a pleasure to talk with.
Thank you. You are too. Aloha.
We're
going to come back. And Jeff Wallach is an author. He's at jeffwallach.com, award-winning author of 4 books. And his latest is Everyone Here is from Somewhere Else. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club tip number 72. Don't throw your club over the fence. It slows down play. We'll be right back with Danielle Tucker in a few moments. Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor. Insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
KORL YNI Honolulu. Hey, Harvard, congratulations. You have won Pitch Fix, and it's going to come to you via priority mail in your inbox. The one that the post office can get to. We'll be back after this.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate, or that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's rick@radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Yeah, yeah. A mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Jeff Wallach, jeffwallach.com. He's author, award-winning author, 4 books of nonfiction, and more than 1,000 essays, articles, and review in publications, including the New York Times, Sports Illustrated, Outside, Men's Health, the American Book Review, among others. Jeff went to Vassar for his BA in English, Brown for his MA in creative writing. Some of the books: Beyond the Fairway, What the River Says, Driven to Extremes, and Best Places to Golf Northwest. The one that introduced me to Jeff was Mr. Wizard. And now his book is coming out. Out already. Everyone here is from somewhere else. Welcome into the clubhouse, Jeff.
Good morning, Danielle. Great to be with you.
I love the title. Where does that come from?
Well, it's kind of the theme of the book. This is a book in which two middle-aged brothers are trying to figure out where they belong. And, you know, that applies geographically as much as metaphorically or psychically. So the concept is, hey, wherever we are, we came from somewhere else.
Ah, gotcha. You know, and we are all together on the planet, and we're all from someplace else. Yeah, except for indigenous peoples. You know, they tend to be, if they're still living where they are, here in Hawaii, for instance, they're from here. And it's just a wonderful sentiment. So with Mr. Wizard, Jeff Wallach joins the likes of Michael Murphy, John Updike, P.J. Wodehouse in writing wonderfully about golf in his fiction. It's a great read for anyone who loves golf and a good mystery. Family relationships swerve and dip like a double-breaking downhill putt. But in the end, everything drops into place with that pleasing sound of a golf ball falling into the cup. Not since Golf in the Kingdom has a fiction writer captured the mystical bonding qualities of our game and the mysteries of the human heart. Wallach's book brings to mind a rollicking round played with quirky, hilarious companions who love the game and each other. That was by Robert Trent Jones, Jr., a poet, by the way. That really kind of sums it up, doesn't it, for Mr. Wizard?
Well, those are the nicest words anyone's thought to say about the book, I think. And, you know, Bobby is a poet, so I'm honored to have him describe the book that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, when you wrote Mr. Wizard, was there any situation that from real life came into your book?
Well, anybody who knew me back when I was a child growing up in New York would say yes. My brother, who grew up in the same house as me, would say yes. You know, you write your fiction based on things that happened in your life. You know, you have the freedom as the author to change them around. You could change the outcome, which is sometimes satisfying. You could change who something happened to. But, yeah, there's a lot of things in both of the books that happened to me in my life.
Okay. And so these two brothers, their mother dies, and before she dies, she says something that makes them wonder if everything they've known about their history is true, or what is going on with Mom. And so they start on this genetic as one of the reviewers said, genetic treasure hunt in search of who they really are. Don't we so much want to do that? You know, let's go on a genetic treasure hunt. Now, your next book follows the two boys, men. They're now middle-aged. But I hear it's a standalone. You don't have to have read the book Mr. Wizard to be able to read this one.
Correct. It never seemed fair to me to make a sequel where somebody had to go back and find the first book and buy it and read it. So the second book, the new one, does stand on its own, but I think it's enriched by having read the first one because you're introduced to many of the characters. You get an idea of the quest that these brothers are on and why in book two they're on a different quest. In the first book, they were on a quest to figure out who their real father was. In the second book, having solved that issue, they're trying to figure out where they belong, you know, both in the world and also kind of who they are now that their father has turned out to be someone different than they had always thought.
Right. Now, the phrase wonderful things, where does that come from?
Well, this is something that their mother utters to them before she dies. And it's what the archaeologist Howard Carter said when he was opening the tomb of King Tut for the first time. And his benefactor was right there with him, and they opened the passage, and he looked in, and his benefactor said, "Do you see anything?" And Carter's response was, "Yes, wonderful things." And this is something that the mother leaves the boys with in the second book to tell them about a new quest she'd like them to go on and what they will discover.
Very, you know, I have to ask you, in your life, was there some quest that you wanted to go on?
Well, I think there's always a quest, Danielle. You know, it could be the quest for becoming a single-digit handicap. That's been a quest of mine. You know, there's a quest in terms of coming to terms with some of the issues you might have had as a kid. I think you know, we're always questing. And to me, that's one of the most interesting things that somebody can put into a book is, can you show us a journey that a character is going to embark on and take us through how that journey goes and how it ends?
The Egypt factor, we're talking about something that fascinates so many of us, you know, just the world and we can't be in touch with it other than through some mystical pyramid and hieroglyphics that somebody says they understand, but nobody's really telling us too much about it. You know, the boy's mother being a budding Egyptologist as a girl, where did that come from out of your mind?
Well, my mother grew up right near the Brooklyn Museum in Brooklyn, New York, which had a fantastic Egyptology department. And I've been there and seen the displays that they've got. And I think her being there and this sense of mystery. I've always been fascinated with the pyramids and with the Egyptians and you know, their view on both life and the afterlife. And so these things kind of came together naturally for me. The mother living down the street from the Brooklyn Museum in the book, them having that great Egyptology department, that always being an interest of mine, and also, you know, very much tied in with the idea of mysteries that need to be solved.
Nice, nice. And all of this happens between the 1950s and the 1970s?
Well, the mother is at her height in those periods, but the book comes all the way up to the current day. So it covers some of the backstory story of some of the older characters who are actually already dead in the books. And then it also takes the story forward of the brothers once they've learned who their fathers are.
Oh, good. Good, because that's, you know, you left us in a very good place because you solved that riddle. You didn't make us wait for another book to come out.
Right, but there are a couple questions from the first book that were left hanging that anybody who read it will be happy to know get answered in the second book.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Now, in the second book, where do they play golf mostly?
Well, there's some early golf on Long Island.
Lovely.
Back in the 50s and the 60s, but a lot of it takes place in Ireland, current-day Ireland, where the father of one of the boys is an aging golf professional.
Fantastic. Did you any golf course inspire you? Are we going to feel a course that we should know the name of?
I'm not going to give it away, but aficionados who've played a little bit of Irish golf or studied Irish golf will probably recognize some things about the golf course in the book. It's fictitious. It's got a fake name, which is Ballydreagh, which in Gaelic means home of the wizards. And that's the golf course where they play. But it does have some very obvious things in common with some famous Irish golf courses.
Wonderful. I was just thinking of a couple of them with the beginning part of that word. Okay. So I got to go back to your early days as a writer. When did you start writing? What inspired you to go to Vassar for your BA in English and then to Brown for your MA in creative writing? Where did all that start?
Yeah, I mean, it started probably when I was 10 or 11 years old, and I wanted to be a storyteller. I wanted to be a novelist. And so that's what I pursued in high school. And, you know, I mean, I played sports, but I also worked on the literary magazine to kind of get my foot in the door. Vassar prepared me beautifully for everything that was to come, you know, both professionally and just in terms of how to live a rich life full of art and ideas. And then graduating from college with no employable skills, graduate school seemed like the most sensible thing to do. So I did a 2-year master's in fiction writing at Brown. And from there, writing fiction was a tough way to make a living. So I took a 35-year detour as a journalist, which was a great career, which I enjoyed. I had a great run as a travel writer. And then when that career ended about 7 years ago, I went back to writing fiction.
Fantastic. But, you know, 11 years old, where did you get inspired at 11 to become a novelist?
I don't know exactly. I just felt like I had stories to tell.
Wow.
And telling them orally was not, you know, an 11-year-old isn't necessarily comfortable talking.
Sure.
And telling stories.
Yeah.
So the idea that I could write these stories down, and that if I didn't get everything exactly right the first time, I could go back and make it better and better and better. So I think it was a natural way for somebody who loved stories to, you know, to pursue a lifetime of telling them.
Well, you know, I've got to tell you, do you feel lucky that you knew so early what you wanted to be when you grew up?
I do. I feel very lucky. I know a lot of people struggle with that. You know, we're in a world now where people don't just have one career anymore. They have 5 or 6 careers, and I know that that's a very stressful thing. It wasn't easy for me in that I wanted to be a novelist and could not make a living at that early on, but I was lucky enough to have journalism as my fallback career, which, you know, rewarded me in so many ways over decades that I couldn't even describe it all.
Yeah, I totally. Sports Illustrated, you must have covered sports, and did you cover golf?
I did cover golf, but I did not cover the tour. I covered golf mostly from the travel side, which to me was always more interesting. It was more interesting to play the game myself go somewhere, see how a particular foreign culture might have adapted the game. You know, you go somewhere like Thailand, and it's very different than it is in Scotland. I was lucky enough to write about the game for 35 years.
We have 2 minutes left. What was different about Thai golf than Scottish golf?
I think the most obvious thing would be the speed of play. I remember going over to Scotland for the first time when I was maybe in my 20s, and I was playing... was playing somewhere north of St. Andrews. I got hooked up with three elderly locals. Of course, we were all walking. I could barely keep up with these three codgers who were just, you know, they were so fast, and I was always, like, trotting down the fairway trying to keep up with them. And then you go somewhere like Japan or Thailand, and the round could take 6 hours, and that's not a bad thing there. They stop for a snack. They stop for lunch. They have a drink. You know, there's three caddies. One's carrying an umbrella. One's got your clubs. You know, very different experience in different countries. And, you know, frustrating to play a six-hour round when your goal is to play a three-hour round, but also once you accept that, hey, I'm in a different culture. They do things differently here. You begin to appreciate the range that the sport has and being adapted by people who do things in different ways.
Wow. Have you ever thought of doing a compilation of all the articles, the travel articles you've written?
Well, two of my early golf books are kind of collections of stories that either were in magazines or, in some cases, they were the stories I wanted to write, but I couldn't because I was working for a magazine and they had certain expectations. So my early book, Beyond the Fairway, kind of tells some of the stories behind the stories that showed up in the magazines, what was really going on, you know, on a golf trip or at a club or someplace I was being hosted that I couldn't put in a magazine.
That's wonderful. Beyond the Fairway. I'm also fascinated, and of course I shouldn't continue talking, what the river says. It just sounds so deep and so mystic, the title. You have really good titles. Thank you so much again for being on the show. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Danielle. Great talking to you, as always.
Aloha. And I want to thank our sponsors. We are very honored to have the support of the Aloha Section PGA. The best way to get good at this game is to learn from a teaching professional who has spent considerable time becoming a PGA. The class, you know, of these guys coming together and working hard to make this game better and to make your experience of it so much sweeter is amazing. They study, they pass courses. It's wonderful because they love the game and teaching. And so, you know, go to your golf course and ask for a teacher and a PGA. Put this on your calendar. You know, we're waiting and we're getting the stock in, and there's so many great things. There are some new generators, some really fabulous generators. I'm talking about Aloha Power Equipment's Megastore. Grand opening is still coming. Yes, Aloha Power Equipment's new Megastore is across from Home Depot's Iwile parking structure. It's on Alakava in Iwile. You'll find all the Aloha Power Equipment you count on. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, you name it, weed whackers, generators, and a whole lot more. Aloha Power Equipment in Waipahu and their megastore on Alakava across from Home Depot's parking structure. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment. MD Restoration. Flood or fire disasters? You need help from MD Restoration at any time of the day or night. Right away, you need help. If disaster strikes your home or office, call MD Restoration, licensed contractors. They'll do your cleanup and repair. The number is 528-3434. And if you're ever stumped about what to get for somebody, get them a Poipu Bay gift certificate. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2022.